Everybody, welcome to the final edition of Green Legion Radio, live from Chickies and Pete, South Philadelphia. I know. It's somber. It's
a dreaded day.
It's
depressing.
You know what? No, E-Rock said it in the, before we started. We didn't even expect to be here. And the that being said, the way we went out, not a fan. We've got stuff. We have stuff to talk about today.
Oh yeah.
We have things to get some closure on. Anyway, if you guys don't know us, Green Legion Radio, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. Please subscribe, rate, review, download everything. Green Legion Radio show is brought to you by our amazing sponsors at Miller Lite, Bucks County Baseball Company, David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in the city. All of our good friends at City Fitness Philadelphia, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly Fishtown, Logan Square East Market, our friends across the bridge at Echelon Health and Fitness, our podcast friends at 4th and John, E-Rock. Nice to have you here, man. Pleasant surprise, brother. Our good friend Sean Brace and Philly Influencer and 102.5 The Gambler, and of course, your official caterer of the Philadelphia Eagles Touchdown Club at The Link, and our biggest sponsor. I want to thank Pete now, and I'll thank him at break, and I'll thank him coming in from break. He gave us our shot this year, and I can't thank him enough for allowing us to do this. So anytime you guys have an opportunity to support Chickies and Pete's and the people that work there, please do so. We highly recommend you do that at every instance. So my panel for the night. We do not have a player tonight, and I wouldn't expect that we would. If I was a player, I'd
be on the first thing smoking.
I'd be on the first plane to Florida.
The first thing smoking.
Josh Gordon, where are you at?
To my left, Chris Sackmaster. How are you, sir?
I'm doing much better than Jadeveon Clowney's Twitter mentions.
Jadeveon Clowney's not getting any love tonight, and that's not going to stop.
None whatsoever.
By the way,
not from me.
To his left, host of the Philadelphia Insider, Philadelphia Eagles Insider podcast, Dave Spadaro.
Third this week in the professional podcast
Wait
category.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
I checked that publication. You're still four.
Okay, you're right. Thanks, Hollis.
It's okay.
We're all friends here. I don't think you want to do that, Dave.
His success is our success. Our success is his success. We're all good. To his left, an unexpected pleasure. From 4th and John's podcast, our good friend E-Rock. How are you, sir?
I just came in here for a sandwich. I got out of work. We're getting ready to do our show at NBC Sports Philadelphia. I just came in here to kill some time, get some good food, and ran into my buddies. So it's great to see you guys. Thanks for having me up here with you.
Please. And that sandwich that you're talking about, the half that you left is gone. Sorry.
Oh, what happened?
I'm kidding, bro.
That's right. You know what Hollis, this kind of food is? A free food. So appreciate you picking up the tab, Quimby.
Not a problem, brother. To his left, number 78 in your programs, number one in your heart, 15-year NFL vet, 10 years with your Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Hollis Tank Thomas.
Good evening, everybody. Get into this. Talk about Clowney right now.
No, just We're getting there.
Let's talk bad about him right now. Thanks.
And to his left, our final panel member for the evening, host of the Sixers Green Legion radio podcast, along with Chris Sackmaster.
Whoop, can't wait.
Mr. Michael Shut Up Diaz. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I
have to clip the champ soundbite when he said, "Shut up, Diaz."
Minute 48 on the show 2 weeks ago.
Okay, minute 48.
It's ringtone.
Yes, it is.
This is the most positive I felt after the end of an Eagles season, and I don't know.
I'm with you.
You know, it's crazy. It's a weird feeling.
Well, you know what?
It's a hollow feeling, isn't it? It's a little colder
it's
in Philadelphia.
Incomplete.
It's a little darker in Philadelphia.
It's like eating Chinese food, man. You're still hungry an hour later.
Just a bit outside.
No, I can pull a Family Guy clip up about that. But all right, so first of all, let's not take away from Hollis's what happened in sports history today. Big Dog, what do you got for us?
Well, today is January 7th, 2020.
Wow,
it's the seventh day of the year, and actually, it's leap year, so it's 359 days left. We're going to start way back in 1904 when the distress signal was established. This distress signal was originally called CQD.
Can I put one up now?
Yeah, you can. CQD. You know what that stands for?
CQD?
Yeah.
Call Quimby a dick.
No, come quick danger.
Oh, okay.
Two years later, it was this.
Dave, there might be a few more tonight. Just be prepared. Put your head down.
Always think of next year.
Of course. Okay. Of course.
So then we go to 1927 when the Harlem Globetrotters played their first game in Hinkey, Illinois.
Hinky.
Yeah, Hinky, Illinois.
Wow. That's my kind of town.
Is that a TTP kind of town?
He is planning a trip.
Probably. In 1961, the first NFL, I guess you call it Loser Bowl, the first and probably only NFL's Loser Bowl.
Can we bring that back?
It was the runner-ups. it was a runner-up bowl.
It's the bronze medal match?
Yeah, pretty much by play with Detroit.
Redskins versus the
Detroit
Bengals?
And, Detroit and Detroit and Cleveland.
That sounds about right.
It game 17-16. And today, I have some holidays for you. Today is Harlem Globetrotter Day.
Oh, a good day.
It's Bobblehead Day. It's tempura day. You know what tempura is?
Of course. It's what you put around your shrimp if you're eating Chinese food.
Yes, delicious. And then I'm not gonna take it anymore day. I got some birthdays.
Oh, my God. Thank God. I have something to talk about with Jadavian Clowney.
A couple of birthdays. Today, in 1948, Kenny Loggins' birthday.
Hey!
1956, David Caruso.
And this is the highway to the danger zone. We all know that, right?
1962, Riverboat Ron Rivera. 1964, Nicolas Cage. And 1971, Jeremy Renner.
You know what? You can make you can make fun of Nicolas Cage for so many roles,
right?
And you can praise him for so many roles.
Face Off,
right?
National
Treasure. I could watch every time it's on TV.
Awesome. Good movies. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this. I actually just because I didn't want to look at Dave, give me a face for a run sheet.
You've already got a couple.
I didn't want to put one out there, but there's stuff to talk about. And in addition to this being the last Green Legion radio show at Chickies and Beats for this year, for the season. This is also the official first edition of the Green Legion Clown Report.
Oh.
Ooh.
And we will get that rocking. Just so you know, I am pissed. I'm with Diaz. I'm not upset that we are where we are because we didn't expect to be where we were. And it's difficult to express, I think, in words. I think everybody's feeling the same way. Dave, you might feel a little bit different because I know you think they should have been there the whole time and they worked to get there.
No.
I think most of us here kind of checked out after, like, the Minnesota game, you know, just thinking that this team wasn't prepared for a playoff run. And the fact that this I'm going to get there. I'm not going to get there yet.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about other things. We're going to come back, and we're going to get to the Jadavian Clowney report.
Absolutely. That's what he is.
But I got to let you know right now, Jadavian Clowney, you're eventually going to hear about this. I'm coming after you. I am coming at you with everything I have. I'm a marketing genius. It's what I've done. It's what I do. And I am going to bring to light the situation because you took something from us. And you did it with malice, and you did it with intent, and I believe that. If you want to sit here and tell me that you're not a dirty player, well, then we could talk about Tom Brady in 2017. We could talk about Sam Darnold in 2018. We could talk about Nick Foles in 2018. We could talk about Baker Mayfield in 2019. And we could talk about Carson Wentz in 2020. And anything you say is basically full of as far as I'm concerned.
Sugar and ass tea.
Sorry.
You know what's funny?
Son of an onion.
It's the fact that number 91, who had both of his eyes on Carson, could let him fall to the ground and not even try to do anything. Yeah. But
we're getting there.
We're getting there.
But let's lighten it for a moment.
We're going to get into a fight tonight.
Well, it's okay.
No, we
might as well.
It's nothing but love. I believe that I will have a contrarian view to what you are all going to say.
Okay, that's fine.
I know your view. It's both ways, so it shouldn't be no fight.
Hey, Dave.
He's right.
Dave, what's different as opposed to any show we've had so far this year?
This is what, week 18?
Hollis, don't put your finger at me.
But, all right, so we know the Eagles are out. Let's talk about, because we've had an around-the-league segment every week. Let's talk about that right now because there is still football. And if you're a football fan, which all of us are, yes, Hollis.
I just want to get off my chest.
Hold on a second. Get off your chest.
No, not that point. I'm just saying.
It's a big chest.
All these chumps that are coming at us whose team was not in the playoffs, shut the complete, up.
Okay.
If you went into the playoffs, you have nothing to say to
me. Oh, we're going to get into Orlando Scandrick and his 11 years in five games.
And not him. I'm just saying, in general, it was a bunch of people talking about something. The y'all at home now. I was like, but you were just watching us.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
You're breaking my flow, baby.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's talk about around the league. And first of all right, and Dave is going to give me a dirty look for this, I'm sure.
But he left.
Have you guys seen the best meme ever?
Which one?
Which one's that?
Sex is great, but have you seen the Patriots get eliminated?
I could have sworn when I went to bed on Saturday night, my wife thought that they were going to come back, and she looked at me and she said, "Did the Patriots lose?" And I said, "Yes, I swear, it was there for my taking if I wanted it, but it was awesome."
That's all it takes, huh, Chris?
That was it. I mean, hey. I put the girl in swinger, baby. You know, just.
Did she have the twinkle? Oh, God.
And thank God, twinkle, twinkle, little star. There aren't a lot of kids in this bar right now.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go over what we have. Let's talk about our division first, because I got to be honest with you, I'm bored with the AFC already. Mm-hmm. Even though the matchup should be excellent, but Minnesota at San Francisco down the row, Chris.
I think this is San Francisco's game.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay.
A short week will really hurt Minnesota. But, boy, I was not surprised they beat New Orleans at all.
I wasn't surprised.
No.
We even talked about that on the show last week. Feel free to expound as we go through this. We have some time.
Yeah.
E-Rock.
You know, it's one of those things that it's San Francisco's game to lose.
Right.
They're going to be favored. But I'm always very wary of inexperienced teams in the playoffs coming off of a number one seed, coming off of a bye. Because we've seen this before. It doesn't happen often, but when you have an inexperienced team, inexperienced quarterback, inexperienced head coach, sometimes you can tend to overthink things, a la Sean McVay against the New England Patriots. I do think the San Francisco 49ers will win, but I would not be shocked if Minnesota gives them a run for the money, and that inexperience becomes a factor.
Now, the only thing to combat that, though, is you got Kyle Shanahan, whose dad has been in this situation before, and he was a kid during this situation. And also, you have Shermer on the squad. Also, you have Sanders on the squad. So you have some guys who have some who've been there,
and
have some pedigree to
even Garoppolo,
and even Garoppolo, even being on New England.
Yeah, he was a backup, but he was there.
Yeah, but so you have some guys with some pedigree who kind of knows what it takes to get over the top and know not to get into it. I think it's more so that actually Minnesota is like actually on a bit of a roll.
I don't think
they're going to win, but it's going to be a better game than we think it is.
Didn't it feel different than the Minneapolis Miracle?
Right.
Right, because that kind of felt like that was their Super Bowl,
right,
and they were setting themselves up for failure, the next week.
Right.
There's something about that Saints win where they don't necessarily – I don't feel like they're setting themselves up for failure. I think they're on a – like you said, Tank, a roll.
I don't know. When your quarterback runs into the locker room and goes, whatever his catch line is.
You like that?
Like, to me, that's a bit of an over celebration.
And today,
for Kirk Cousins, it was kind of like, hey, I've arrived.
If we're talking about it right now, what do we think about the play at the end of the game in overtime?
Awesome.
Awesome? Or was it essential to the arm?
They didn't
review it.
Yeah, I thought it was pass interference.
I thought you were talking about the play before that.
One at a time, boys.
It was offensive pass interference, but that's fine with me. I hate the Saints. I hate their fans. I was glad to see it go against them.
I'm with Dave.
Well, it was kind of weird because it was one of those plays that they continue to say that they're going to call and they never do call. And then when you call them on it, it's like, well, we felt like, well, nobody gives a damn how you feel. Make the call. I didn't think they were going to call anyway. The play I thought you guys were speaking about was the play before that, the Thielen play.
Oh, the Thielen play.
That was awesome. And for that play to come down like that, that's when I thought that they had slightly arrived. But the you like that thing at the end, it kind of like messed everything up.
It was juvenile.
It was juvenile.
It wasn't necessary.
It had everything. It had drama. right? It had comedy because the Saints lost again on a play that they felt like they should have got a flag.
Hey, nothing better than comedy in a town filled with jesters.
I thought it was our day when they lost.
Yeah. Diaz.
Home playoff game.
I think Minnesota in the points against San Francisco. It looks like it's seven. That's a lot of points the way they're playing.
And everything is great so far in the show besides Hollis's hands on the table right now.
And not wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, where are you, Morpheus?
Well, you kind of rushed me to come to the
bathroom. I got you. All right.
Oh, you had to come pick up Quimby today, huh? Quimby
I don't have a car.
Quimby doesn't have a car.
Josh Perkins still has it.
You know, it's funny. He said something about driving to California.
I'm all right with it. Put up the miles. I gotta tell you this. The X factor for me in this game is Kittle. This kid's a stud.
Beast.
An absolute beast. And if he has a game, the Vikings don't stand a chance.
And Sanders, both of them.
Yeah. All right. The one we don't want to talk about. Russell Wilson and your Seattle Seahawks versus the Green Bay Packers.
I'm happy you got my text message.
Where did Russell Wilson come up with that haircut, baby?
I don't know.
Just ask his wife.
Speaking of asking wives, Chris.
Listen, I have nothing in this game except for Green Bay.
Exactly.
My whole sole purpose for the rest of this postseason.
You mean your sole glow purpose?
My sole glow purpose for the rest of this NFL playoffs is to watch Seattle die a slow, very slow death. And I don't care who it comes at the expense of, but the sooner, the better. Go
Thank
Pack.
You. Thank you.
I think Seattle actually will win this game. I'm not a big Green Bay fan. I think that Seattle's... I just think Russell Wilson's the best in the game.
I think you're picking the opposite of everything we say all season.
Agree with
this
me.
Is 19 weeks into it, and you're doing the same shit.
I think
I'm not going to lie.
I think he is the best in the business, and they just seem to find a way to manufacture points even when their offense is losing a lot of pieces.
Sputtering.
And they'll get back Dwayne Brown, and they'll have Mike Iupati, and they'll be better on the offensive line, and they'll get to run the beast mode more. And their defense will give the Packers problems because they've got good cornerbacks, and they showed obviously last week they can rush the quarterback.
Yeah. E-Rock.
My head says Packers. My gut says Packers. The empty void in my heart says Packers. The empty void in my soul right now says Packers.
God bless you.
Go, Paco. There you go.
Well, I want to see if Jadavion gets away with that against
Aaron Rodgers. Nope.
I'm just saying, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Dave about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's my guy. And that was the one guy who actually scares you as far as, like, if you give him an opportunity to win, he's that guy. And right now, Matt Leinart coach Green Bay Packers, they kind of suck ass at certain points during the season. And I think this is like one of those games where they think they're supposed to get it, but I don't think he's going to come up with anything to actually win. So I'm thinking the Seahawks are going to pull this one out.
DS.
I'm taking the Seahawks, too. I think going into last week, they're like 10-2 this year in one-score games.
And
now they're 11-2. And then they're getting their two offensive linemen back. And I just think they're going to play the game that we saw last week with us, and they're going to be in a one-score game, and Russell Hustle and Bustle is going to pull it out at the end.
I'm with
Seattle.
I'm with E-Rock. moving on.
You never said why, though.
We all know why.
Yeah, man, he's going to talk about it later.
No, don't worry. We come back from break. There's going to be a lot to talk about.
Don't forget me. You're with the soul glow purpose for me as
this
well.
It's a soul glow purpose. That's a great line, Bob. Houston and Kansas City. By the way, Eric Bieniemy getting major considerations
getting
hosed.
And get shut out, yeah.
Which is bull. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think
you don't know how he interviews, though. I know Eric.
I still. Okay. Well, I don't. We don't.
He doesn't. I don't think he interviews real well.
Anyway, let's go back to Houston and Kansas City. I think Kansas City destroys. Go. Chris,
you have a better shot at Andy Reid enjoying a salad than Kansas City losing this game to Houston.
The only way that the Texans have any chances is if J.J. Watt just goes crazy.
And he didn't show you anything that was going to make you feel that way.
Right, I don't think that'll happen. I think Kansas City romps.
I don't think he has. I don't think he has the. I don't think he has the cardio right now.
I'm going Chiefs.
Neither does Andy.
Houston's talented. Kansas City is more talented.
Yep. Yeah.
And I know a lot of Eagles fans do not have this line of thinking. I don't blame them. I understand where they're coming from. But me, personally, I'd like to see Andy win one.
Nope.
Hey. I'd like to see Andy win
hold
one.
Hold on a second.
Hey, jokes aside.
Just out. Bloomberg, get out.
You can't sit next to me.
Hollis isn't the biggest reader.
Oh, no. He
or
is.
Five. Hollis, Hollis isn't a big reader.
Or five.
I'm feeling like heat right next to me.
Oh, no.
It's
coming.
No, I don't give a damn if he wins. I'm not pulling for him. But I think they're going to win this game. And it's one of those things where he didn't win one when he was coaching me.
Is this like an off-the-air conversation?
Oh, no.
This has been documented.
It's been documented.
And you guys will find out more about it when it comes out. The book's called The Undrafted Truth.
In your face.
In your face.
We also have 60 episodes of this as well. You can download.
Oh, don't worry.
The last year.
Diaz.
I'm taking Kansas City, too. It's the highest line of the day, of the weekend, 9.5 points. I think they cover that by 14.
All right, good. Let's move on and get through this quick because we do need to take a break here. Tennessee, Diaz, you called it on 102.5 The Gambler with Sean Brace this week with me and him. Derrick Henry, stud.
The load.
You know what? That's the best word I've heard to describe him so far. Whoa. And it's a word that we can use in so many ways. But he is just a load.
He's got just a strange career. He wins the did you see some of his high school numbers? His high school senior year, he had 80 touchdowns.
What?
Yep. He had 80 touchdowns, 4,300 yards.
He's 6'4".
He's a tall running back.
How
tall running back?
240?
Yeah, he ran a 4.54.
And he's 240?
Yeah, about 240.
Jesus.
I don't know if you pay. The thing that the microcosm of what he is, the 2-minute drill was all him.
Oh, 75 yards, yeah.
75 Woo! Yards. They gave him 53 on the ground, and then they threw a screen pass, and it seemed like the whole defense was like, you touch him, I ain't touch him, you touch him, I ain't touch him. It's like, get out of the way, he's coming again. Now, look out.
The one thing I'd like to point out, too, for our little panel discussion we have every week, he dominated that game with,
183
yards.
On his 26th birthday.
They only scored 14 points, right?
Right.
Besides the
pick six at the end.
So running the ball is good. You score points by passing the ball.
Thank you, Diaz.
No problem.
You said it all you want to. Hold on. But how many passing teams?
You two can make out after the show.
How many passing teams made the playoff?
One at a time.
How were Seattle's numbers last weekend? 325 passing yards and 67 rushing yards.
Yeah, interesting. But the top passing offenses.
That's not going to prove your theory.
I know.
They only put up 17 points.
It's not a theory. They could have scored more if they had tried to run the ball.
The top passing offenses did not make the playoffs.
Okay. Anyway, both of you, shut up.
Did not make the playoffs.
Sack.
I'll be here all week.
Tennessee, Baltimore. What do you think?
I'm a man. I win.
Baltimore.
E-Rock.
Lamar Jackson is an unstoppable force. He is absolutely taking the league by storm. It's Baltimore.
Big Dog.
Baltimore, and I do what I want when I want. I'm a man.
Diaz.
I am going to say Baltimore wins the game, but I would take Tennessee in the points.
I'm going to say Tennessee wins outright.
Wow.
It's not really a bold prediction.
What made you think Ryan Tannehill was going to be able to do that after last week? I think he had 87 yards passing.
72. You just beat the 72? Patriots in New England.
But he's done that before.
Just saying.
He's got the most victories anybody against Tom Brady.
Everybody, we will be back at Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia on Green Legion Radio right after this. Everybody back on Green Legion Radio, live from Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. Do not forget to get your custom Eagles mug here at Chickies and Pete's. $8, right?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. This month. This month, I think it's
cracked.
Who said that? Who's on Mic Silence?
Huh?
Not me.
Waiting for somebody to say
it. Might be our guest, our podcast partner.
He's being pretty liberal here.
Also, don't forget to check out Chickies and Pete's in Parks Casino and at Tropicana's Casino on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. Everybody, this is our last show of the season.
At Chickies and Pete's. Please reiterate that, sir.
We got the Get Tagged Happy Hour every week starting at 6 o'clock on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Make sure that you talk to us about hiring for remotes because I love putting this equipment together and tearing it down and doing it again every time we go out.
Awesome sarcasm.
All right, let's get to the game recap. Let's get through it. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to get to know a player. Since we don't have one today, we're going to get to know Hollis Thomas.
Everybody knows me.
No, we're going to get into it a little harder.
Get a little deeper into it?
Yeah, a little deeper into it.
Okay, good things. Mazel.
Mr. Spadaro, please. Injury report after the playoff game, and
everybody will be ready for next year.
What can you tell us about Carson's injury? And
he had a concussion.
I mean, is he still in
protocol?
Yeah.
There were rumors, and of course it's rumors, and I want to stress that, that it was worse than it was on Sunday, and it has not been getting better. Can you tell us anything about that?
He can't say, man. He's not allowed to say that.
I'm not allowed to say it. That's confidential with Carson.
Okay.
So I would say that's a rumor, but he appeared to be fine yesterday and today at the complex.
All right. Good. So he Diaz.
Well, I just got a question about the injuries.
Right.
For some fans, Dave, we see it on Twitter. We live in an online world, and you know, they replaced the medical staff last year. Injuries happen in football, but, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, what are these guys doing? They can't keep players. I mean, a concussion's a concussion. You can't stop that.
Right.
But some of the other players I don't know if you can even comment on that. Was it more just a
get to the question, damn it.
Thank you.
Shut up,
well,
the ass.
Well, no. We'll get to this later on, but I think that a lot of these injuries happen to older players. Is it something with age?
There's no doubt that there are many questions that the Eagles have to answer. One of them is injuries and recovery and what's happening.
We're getting all that.
And another one is clearly the approach of building a roster and age. I mean, the acquisitions from the offseason, by and large, did not pan out.
Right.
Yeah.
And so why is that?
I just have one question. Do you think it's the way that they are not allowed to hit during the
Well,
during
I mean,
the
look,
camp?
Jason Kelsey played every snap. Malcolm Jenkins played every snap. What are those guys doing that is it just...
Well, hold on real fast. We can address that right now. Well, we can bring that up. Jason Kelce and Malcolm Jenkins are two of the most durable players that have ever played the game.
Malik Jackson had never been hurt, and he gets hurt in the second game of the year.
Hold on. Okay. I don't want to focus on the training staff right now. And it's kind of odd that removed from a Super Bowl 2 years, and we become the oldest team in the league. We talked about this on 102.5 The Gambler last week. I'm getting tired of next man up mentality.
You're not getting tired of that mentality. You just want the starters.
It has been a pattern. Chris, please.
I got you.
It's been a pattern. I don't know if it's because of the age of the players. I don't know if it's because of the training staff. I don't know if it's just damn awful luck. But I do not want to hear next year, okay, next man up. Well, I don't want to hear it.
Nobody wants the injuries, Quimby.
No.
Dave, hold on. You have to admit there's a pattern here, and it's your key players can't stay on the field. And that, I mean, and first of all, Jacina Anderson, you know, you can, you and Torrey Holt can both go to hell.
Well, Torrey, bring this out.
First of all, no, because Carson Wentz was as durable as a player could be this year, and you're going to talk about a hit like that, and then you two jackasses are going to have that conversation on Twitter when you got a 280-pound Jadeveon Clowney spearing you into the ground on your way down in the back of the head, and all of a sudden, it's always something with Carson Wentz. Both of you can go to hell.
Well, Torrey Holt, I think, did not know what the injury was. And
Tell him to shut up.
He deleted his tweet. And besides, Chris Long just ended the whole
conversation. No, he deleted his tweet because Chris Long pumped him.
It was before that.
Look, I mean, if you want to separate emotion from facts, okay?
Yeah,
Carson Wentz has not finished a season in the last 3 years.
Okay. But this is not an injury that any quarterback is going to recover from.
Of course, and the Eagles have had a ton of injuries, and so that's something they have to look at, and they've been looking at. And I wish they had an answer, Quimby. Could snap their fingers.
I want to interrupt you, and I hate doing that because I respect every single thing that you have to say.
Go ahead.
Remove Carson Wentz completely from this equation.
Fine.
Because the hit on him, anybody else anywhere in the league, regardless of your size, is going down. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a 6-week stinger.
I know that. I was entering the question, and then you.
Well, you brought it up with Carson Wentz, and I don't want him to be part of the equation,
right?
Because I thought he was durable. I thought he answered the question: can I make it through a season? Yes, you can. And one dirty ass player knocked it out for him.
Okay. So, as I was saying, they are looking into everything. I don't know how to explain it. Nobody knows how to explain it. I wish we could.
They've got a couple weeks to figure it out.
They're going to look at the training staff. They're going to look at the equipment they wear. They're going to look at the field they practice on. They're going to look at nutrition that they use. They're going to look at the way they do training camp. They're going to do preseason. I don't know.
Chris.
We're talking about how old these players are and why we have to keep on going out and get older players. That's because it starts with the draft. And if you don't start hitting your draft picks and you don't start getting younger,
We are feeling the effect of not hitting draft picks.
Exactly. And that's the reason why you have to go out and you have to get older guys like a DeSean Jackson and Malik Jackson. And you have to bring them in here and you have to give them high dollars to try and solve the inefficiencies that the front office has in drafting younger players.
Dave, okay. Back to you, your opinion on that particular statement regarding draft picks.
Yes, the Eagles need to draft better.
Where do we go from here to make that happen?
You draft better, Quimby.
Hold on a second. This is radio, Dave. This isn't a conversation on the phone.
Where do they go from here? They don't panic like you are. You're freaking out, man.
Quimby, get out of here. Come on. Hey, Dave, anything we know about Quimby is he is calm, collected.
I'll let you guys run this. Tell me if you do well.
Yeah. You go back. You do things better. You try to do things better every single day in the job.
Self-evaluate.
Well, every day in the job.
First of all, let me say, all right, I still have complete faith and confidence in Howie. Okay?
Great.
I do.
Great. So do I. He's right. The draft this year was not productive. Right. They had one player who contributed, Andre Dillard at times. But other than Miles Sanders, the jury is out on all the other guys.
Big time.
Okay? So they have 10 draft picks. They got to be better. They can't make mistakes, right? They know that. Now, how do you do it? I don't know. You refine your search. You
self-evaluate.
You just do it better, whatever that is.
Dave,
It's been a pretty good team. Four teams to make the playoffs in the last 3 years in the NFL. One of four teams to make the playoffs in the NFL.
I'm not taking away from the team right now. Okay.
You're looking for a solution, and I'm telling you,
I'm bringing about a question that many people have.
Valid question. And the Eagles are asking those questions too. Will they make changes? I don't know. There's always a ton of changes. The roster changes. The coaching staff changes.
Is that the answer though?
But I don't have the answer right now. The season just ended 48 hours ago.
Dave, understand that you are our conduit.
Of course, I'm explaining it to you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not hating on you because you're spazzing out.
First of all, Dave, you have never heard me spazz out.
Yeah. Well, let me. Can I? Okay, this is the best way to put it is: what are they doing to basically get better draft picks in here?
Evaluate better.
And then, not only that, the only thing I had a problem with is drafting players that are injured, and they're kind of reaching for players at times.
Like in the draft?
In the draft in general. And that's the only thing I have a problem with. But other than that, I think he's put a quality program together.
They drafted five players.
Right.
One contributed a lot.
Exactly.
That's not a good percentage.
That's not a good percentage at all.
They know it.
But in the last couple of years, how many of those guys have actually contributed?
Yeah, it's been more misses than hits, no doubt about it.
Dave, can I ask you a question? Because this is honestly something that's been on my mind that we've discussed on our show. But I still don't know the answer to it. So everybody's looking at the last couple of drafts. And when I say couple, maybe like the last three, but dating back to 2017. And obviously they haven't gotten production from the players. We've drafted guys like Pumphrey a little too high. Mac Hollins, you know, in hindsight's 2020.
So you're naming two fourth-round draft picks.
Yeah,
my question is, how much of this – Joe Douglas was brought in here to stack the board, correctly?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to blame Howie Roseman for the final say. How much is the disappointment that has been with some of these draft picks been from Joe Douglas's fault?
I got to tell you honestly, Iraq, it's not one person's fault. Because when they make a draft pick, they go, all right, we've got a pool of three. They're two picks away. They got a pool of four guys. Okay. All right, we're going to get one of these guys. Who do you like here, guys? And then they ask in the room, the consensus in the room. And that room includes the head coach, Howie, Joe, Andy Weidel, etc. Defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. Everybody's got grades on all the players.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they all sign off on it. Wow. You make a mistake as a team, and you have a success as a team.
Well, what happened?
Now, Howie's the boss. So
yes,
ultimately, he's the one who's gonna be the guy who calls the draft.
Guys, real fast, let Hollis weigh in before he interrupts you.
I was just going to ask what the hell happened with Sidney.
Sidney Jones?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, clearly Jim Schwartz doesn't like him.
No, I didn't like when y'all drafted him.
All right, well, hold on.
First of all, thank God we went
to our third set when we were supposed to break down the game. Let's talk about the game. Let's get refocused here real fast because I know Dave has somewhere to be in about 12 minutes, and I want his opinion on everything. Jadeveon Clowney. All right. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. And I'm not going to spaz out just because Dave pointed it out.
You're disappointed in what? Exactly.
I'm disappointed that the NFL refuses to address.
They're addressing it. They're looking into it.
Excuse me. Sorry. And I'm not going to let you do that this time. Jadeveon Clowney knocks out Brady in 2017, Darnold in 2018, Foles in 2018, even though that was expunged. Okay? Baker Mayfield in 2019, Carson Wentz in 2020, and this cat continues to defend that he's not a dirty player. That's bullshit. I'm tired of it. And the NFL needs to be held accountable, and even more, when you are going to set a standard to protect the players that exemplify and put ratings on your television, you have to call it consistently. Okay? Carson Wentz is no Aaron Rodgers yet.
We hope so.
However, the fact is everything about that hit on Sunday was intent. You want to call it dirty, you want to call it malice, you want to call it whatever you want. If you are trying to not hurt that player, then your arms are extended because you're leading with your head. There's no idiot on the planet that's going to try to spear their own head into the ground. And I firmly believe that. And I'm mad about it. Okay, you're dismissing it, but trickle-down effect, okay? Jadeveon Clowney may get fined for it. Okay, you know what he should be fined for? He should be fined for every person in the service industry that loses money because the Eagles don't have another
player. There we go. There it is.
It hurt your business. That's
you
it.
Should have.
It hurt your business.
No, no. No. Okay. No. I said service industry. I'm not in the service. I hate everybody.
That's true. That is true.
Okay.
Right,
concur. The home Eagles ticket sales, concessions, everything. I don't believe this guy is honest. And even more so, as we watch a video of this jerk off coming off the field where he is going like this, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. Really? 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 So, anyway, the Green Legion now has a new project because I had 3 months off. We have reserved the URL, theclownreport.com.
Appropriate.
And I am going to focus my attention on bringing to light situations like this. Because it's not his first time. This is his fifth time.
Perfect.
This is his fifth time he has put a quarterback in an injury-related situation. And it needs to be addressed. Sorry. Again, ready? Tom Brady 2017, and where we can all go, yeah, don't give a shit about Tom Brady. Okay? Kids. Baker Mayfield 2019, Nick Foles, and Sam Darnold 2018, and Carson Wentz in 2020. And he's been fined for every one of these plays. He's a dirty player, and I don't give a shit if you like my statement or not.
But before Dave says anything, they've already dubbed Barnett as a dirty player. And he's got.
And yeah, how is Derek Barnett a dirty player already?
And he's done a lot less. And I don't see.
You guys are looking at me like. No, I'll give you my opinion.
Because I know your opinion, but to what we're talking about, just basically, because Derek Barnett got a flag for he got pushed.
He should have gotten a flag.
No, he should. He got pushed into.
So what? Shouldn't have.
I saw. See, he shouldn't have. No, he got pushed into him.
Dumb play.
No, it wasn't a dumb play. He got the offensive lineman pushing him into it. But I understand your climate competition, but how's Derek Barnett gets this moniker, and he's not a dirty player?
I believe that Jadeveon Clowney should have been penalized for the play. He clearly speared Carson Wentz.
Do you know why Derek Barnett
don't
got called
me.
On that play?
Don't interrupt me, all right?
Okay. Oh.
So he. Okay. Jadeveon Clowney deserved to get penalized on that play, no doubt. He also had a free shot at a quarterback, and I'll tell you what, every single defensive lineman in the league would take a free shot at a quarterback. Carson put himself in a vulnerable position.
By diving forward?
By not throwing the ball away, by not getting out of harm's way. He did.
He's not. I don't think.
Look at the play. Look at the play. That play was going absolutely nowhere. And by the way, football is a contact sport. And if one of the Eagles, I would want the Eagles. I would want the Eagles to take
to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Okay. So my only opposition to your statement right now is if you are going to protect the key players in this game, i.e. quarterbacks,
I said
then
that
damn well better be consistent.
As I said, he should have been penalized. Now, I was standing...
Penalized? He put this guy out.
I was standing on the field and literally right in front of me. And that play happened so fast. And As I said, he should have been penalized. But Carson was in a vulnerable position. And you get a free shot in the quarterback. And sorry, that's what football is.
And it wasn't that fast, though.
Hollis.
Yeah, it was. You guys are watching it.
Oh, my God. You guys, hold on.
Yes, you are.
E-Rock.
I think we're all a little upset. We all have our opinions on it, but I think we're all a little upset that it happened and it knocked Carson Wentz out of the game. I want to make sure that everybody knows, especially the fans that may not be Eagles fans that are listening to this, we're not having a New Orleans Saints mental breakdown. Complaining that we didn't get a flag or that there needs to be changes made to the rules. The flag is inconsequential. The 15 yards that we would have gotten
completely,
from roughing the pass
completely.
Is not going to bring Carson back.
Well, what do you want?
We want justification for him knocking us out of the opportunity to win that game.
But I do agree that it should be consistent. I do agree that he did put a little mustard into it.
Yeah, he did.
He tried to make him feel it. But I also do kind of agree with Dave where I do remember a time when John Runyon, late to the whistle, used to run into a pile, or Brian Dawkins, who many New York fans considered to be dirty,
would
lay a hit like
but
that.
But you can't do it anymore, and if you're not able to do it, then it has to be consistent.
But what I'm saying is I don't think Jadavion's a dirty player.
Yeah.
I think he is. I think he meant to put a little something
hold
extra
on
the
hold
hit,
on. Ready?
But I don't think he meant to knock the quarterback out
Hollis.
Of the game.
Yes, sir.
Hollis is a defensive player for 15 years in the league. Is he a dirty player?
Yeah, and the only reason I said he was dirty because I watched the play, and everybody else talking about it happened bang bang. It didn't happen bang bang. The guy was going, he was going down, and when he was going down, you could see Jadavion Clowney still standing up, watching him go down. He watched him go down, and then he spit him. That's dirty.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. I have it on tape. I can slow it down
Hollis,
for you.
As you know,
I can slow it down for your eyes.
As you know, when you watch it on tape,
I can slow it down for your eyes.
It's different than watching it live.
No,
it's watching
saying,
live.
No. When I said, my bad.
Carson made a move to get up the field. The safety tackled him, and then as he hit the ground. Boom.
No, I said, that's what...
You guys understand we're going to break in 2 minutes right after Dave has to leave.
Okay, I said when it happened, I said he watched him go to the ground and hit him. And I was watching TV. I could see it. And it was before any replay. And then I say he's not coming back in the game. It's like he watched him go to the ground. And if you slow it down, you can see him watching him go to the ground. If you slow it down for your eyes only.
Uh-oh, here we go. You and James Bond.
Let me sum it up by saying this. It was a horrible moment. Mm-hmm. I felt terrible and feel terrible for Carson. I feel terrible for the fans. It was a sucky way to lose.
Yeah.
I firmly believe we would have won that game if Carson stayed healthy.
Thank you.
And that which means nothing.
No.
And look, I mean, the play should have been penalized.
But I agree with
E-Rock on that. The penalty is inconsequential.
Yeah. Totally inconsequential. But I'm not sure what you want to...
I want him to be held accountable for something that he's consistently doing.
League, so the league is reviewing it, and we'll see if they deem it worthy of a penalty.
Hold on a second. Punishment for smoking dope five times in a row than this jackass has for putting people down five times in a row.
It's just one of those unfortunate
things.
That's it. The game of football. Like, there's nothing else we can do.
There is the vicious dichotomy. Yeah. You get caught smoking dope five times, and you're suspended for how long?
Indefinitely.
Now, and this jackass is trying to put players out of the game, key players. And five times now this has happened. Five times. And he's going to get fined $20,000.
$75,000.
And it was the only player that we could not afford to lose.
Yeah. Exactly.
But to
so it has to be consistent. If you want to keep your key and marquee players in the game so it's fair, and so your ratings are up, then you goddamn well better call it consistent.
But to what Dave said, Carson should have been a little bit more smarter and knowing it's the playoffs and not done that.
What?
Not
dive forward?
Don't put yourself...
You're kidding me. Both of you.
He got tackled.
I don't like to play.
He didn't get tackled. He got speared.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he got tackled by the safety, and then he went down, and then he got speared.
Hold on a second. This doesn't take away from the fact that I love all of you.
It's all love. We're all just frustrated because the Eagles aren't playing this
weekend.
We're
frustrated. Everybody live from Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. We have to say good night to Dave Spadaro.
Thank you, Dave.
And E-Rock.
Thanks, guys, for having me on the show.
We appreciate you guys being here so much. And all through the season, Dave, you have taught us a lot. Thank you so much. Live from Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, everybody. We'll be back for one more segment after this. All right, we're playing funky music all night long. Everybody, welcome back to the Green Legion Radio Show, live from Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, for our final segment of the season. Again, I want to thank Pete and Shiraki. Is that how you say it?
Cherokee.
I'm sorry, Pete. I may screw it up, but
tell us like you're right.
I cannot, in any way, shape, or form, verbally commit to you how thankful I am that you gave us this opportunity.
Thanks, Pete.
Absolutely, great job, Pete.
Appreciate it, Pete.
All right, so we normally have a player on, and we have a final segment called "Let's Get to Know That Player." And since we don't, let's put Morpheus on the hot seat.
Good things, mazel mazel.
Did you take the blue or the red pill today?
I took the green one. Still,
that a girl
and good Neo. Things.
All right, so we're going to get to know Hollis Thomas a little bit. How about that, huh?
Good things.
Please, at any point in time, feel free to interject.
Right. Correct, dispute,
anything that he claims. You do not need to raise your hand, sir, in any way, shape, or form.
Just know that I know everything about you that you know about me.
Hey, hold on. If you start talking about Pops, you are on mic silence.
That doesn't make it, no.
Gotcha. Anyway, 45 years old, originally from Abilene, Texas.
Born
in Abilene, Texas, and of course later St. Louis.
Yes.
All right. 6'2", 340 pounds, and both of those are a bit of a stretch.
You're cheating him already.
Yeah, whatever, man.
I'm 6'2 and a half, and I'm probably more on the 360 range.
Okay. You mean you're more like the 385? Why did you tell me to pull that up?
Okay. Oh, man.
Sexual chocolate.
Oh, man.
Sexual chocolate, ain't you so fine?
Hold on. That boy good and terrible.
Yeah, good and terrible.
Played college at Illinois State.
Northern Illinois.
Whatever.
NIU, baby.
Undrafted free agent in 1996, signed by our own Philadelphia Eagles. Spent time in New Orleans, Carolina, and St. Louis. I want to ask a couple questions. There's only two. How much do you hate the Cowboys?
I despise them. I've despised them since birth.
By the way, let's not ever discuss birth, okay? Because I can't imagine what it was like.
I was a regular sized kid. I came on like a house of fire. My mom started cooking me stuff. I started noticing pie.
You like pie?
I started noticing delicious taste of pie.
Pops, what do you got to say there?
Anything?
Cakes and pies. Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah, it was cakes and pies.
Cakes and pies. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I don't think that falls within the new wave sports science diet.
Hey, I'm a man.
Yeah. Hollis, as we are on the cusp of a book called The Undrafted Truth, which is going to take place. Yeah. It's not going to be an autobiography. It's going to be a biography, and I am happy to be writing this for you.
Thank you. Good things.
I hope you have a good editor.
Yes, myself.
Yeah, not you. Not you. Shut up.
Talk to me or give us, fans, your three favorite moments as an NFL player. I already know one.
Right.
It's a hit on Michael Vick.
Yes.
In an NFC Championship game that took us to the Super Bowl in 2004 into 2005.
Right.
Two others.
One of my favorite moments, a lot of people may not know this, my rookie year, the very first game that I was in, RFK Stadium, one of the last games at RFK Stadium against the Redskins.
That dump?
Yeah. It's actually two moments in one of the same moments, but the first moment was not knowing if I was going to get in or not, because as a kid, you know, growing up.
Put me in, coach.
It was none of that put me in, coach. It was like I was standing on the sideline, and all of a sudden he's like, Hollis, Fat T. I was like, me? So, yeah, he's like, get in. I was like, I get into the game. But that wasn't my favorite moment. The actual favorite moment was we were up 17-14 versus the Redskins, and that was when Brian Mitchell used to kill the Eagles all the time on third down plays.
Yeah, remember that.
So they put me in on a third down play. It was my very first game. So a third down play, they run it like a shuttle pass to Brian Mitchell. He's running to get the first down. He's almost at the first down, and Michael Zordich grabs him by the leg. And guess who comes over the top and drives him back?
Big dog.
Big tank.
Like, that was one of my favorite moments. We ended up winning the game. And it was like, and the other favorite moment is the very first win versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
The very first win was, I can tell you about the loss. The loss came early in the season, and our head coach said we were going to lose, mainly because, excuse the language, he said, well, you pull out a bunch of shit and bells and whistles.
Earmuffs.
Bells and whistles and stuff. You normally get
you're good, Bob.
You normally get your ass kicked. At that point, we here on Monday night at Veterans Stadium, we had Michael Buffer announcing everybody. I don't know if you guys remember that, but we got housed. We got our teeth kicked in. And so then the later on that season, we went to Texas Stadium and played. And you can feel like we were going to win. The way that I knew we were going to win was one of the key moments in that game was right before halftime. William Fuller came back into the game. He said, cover me. Cover me on the D-line means he's a defensive end. I just cover him.
Right.
As I was going around to cover him, all I saw was him and Eric Williams fighting fisticuffs on the star on the 50-yard line, hand to blow. But the actual best part of that
game. You guys are fantastic when you guys go hand to blow on helmets.
They had their heads taped up. Taped up like fighters. So
doesn't matter.
If he's hitting you with that hand, he's rattling something loose.
All right.
So at the favorite part of that game was at the end of the game, and I've told you this story before. We knew that they were going to pass the ball because they always run play action fake because they had been rolling down the field. So they run the play action fake. James Willis intercepted.
Here we go. He pitches it to Troy. This is the best.
So I go to take off. As I'm going to take off, I feel somebody jerk my arm. And it was William Fuller. He said, slow your fat ass down. Who you think has to go back out there when they score this touchdown? And I was like, oh, man. So as I'm looking up at the Jumbotron, all I see is Ronnie Dixon running with Troy. Ronnie Dixon was a defensive lineman. He did not come back in the game.
He went right to the oxygen.
He went right to the oxygen. And the best part of that entire night was coming back to Philadelphia and seeing 3,000 or 4,000 fans waiting on us out by the plane like we had just won a championship. That's what you know about the Cowboys-Eagles rivalry. That's what you know how it is. When people are waiting out there because you just kicked their ass at Texas Stadium.
Go ahead, Chris.
Welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Go ahead, Chris. Yeah,
Chris. Hollis, you said that hating the Dallas Cowboys has happened since birth.
Right.
So, like, growing up in St. Louis, what sparked that hatred for the Cowboys? Because I would have thought that it started when you were playing here.
Well, no, it was you would always see one of them acting like they were like superstars.
Unfortunately, there's Dallas Cowboys cockroaches all.
Oh, absolutely.
Over
the other thing was when they were playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you would see them acting like they were the best. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. They're like I gained a love for the Eagles. When it was the year they went to the Super Bowl, I had never seen the Eagles before, and they came and they put a 50 burger on a St. Louis car. but then the quote unquote.
I love when players say a 50 burger. I'm not gonna lie, that's hysterical.
The score was 52-0. It wasn't even a close game.
Right.
And so I was like, who is this? And they had Harold Carmichael came out, he pulled his helmet off, had the fro with the chops. He had the feather tips with the big mustache. Like
by the way, did it look anything like that?
No, it was no matter that. It was.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That's a corn-fed mule.
But then the St. Louis Cardinals left and went to Arizona. It was their third city.
Gotcha.
A lot of people don't know that they were Chicago Cardinals at first.
All right, I got one more question before we get it off our chest and we call it quits at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, for this football season. And we do hope everybody listening, all of our staff, Taylor, who's been our fantastic waitress,
yes,
server.
Taylor.
Honestly, Taylor, thank you. Our boys behind the bar, where's Dennis? There he is. My man.
Dennis.
You guys have been fantastic. We do hope that you guys allow us to come back next year and enjoy another season. Besides Delilah's, what's your favorite thing to do when you're not playing football?
Being a man and winning.
Attaboy.
I'm a man and I win.
That's it.
That's how I roll.
That's it. You guys starting all the way on my end. You and I started this over a year ago, Diaz, and thank you for being part. Thank you for doing what you do for us, social media wise, and thank you for being a friend. Seriously,
finally validation. That makes me feel good.
100%, sir.
Yeah,
100%. Diaz, you have anything you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Where do we start? No. It was a great season. The Green Legion schedule that we had every single week. I was going through pictures, like meeting new people, old people all over the country and globe. It was awesome. But now we're going in deep with the Sixers now. So it's TTP season.
Oh God! Okay.
So, all right.
Turnover.
You got it, brother.
Big Dog.
What's up?
I'm sorry. I know your nickname's Tank, but you're Big Dog to me.
Thanks. I don't really have anything off my chest. I just want to thank you guys for having me be a part of this. It's like we be having this whole thing is
brother. This engine doesn't run without you.
Thank you.
I just been enjoying myself the entire time, and I'm glad you guys welcomed me with open arms to the Green Legion. And Green Legion Radio, and I've done a lot, and I've become more of a man, and I win more now.
Attaboy. Champ.
Champ.
You got anything you want to get off your chest?
Not for really.
No?
Just thank you for having us here, Chickies and Pete's.
Attaboy.
There you go, Champ.
There you go. That is an excellent.
He's a marketer.
Yeah. We're going to talk about your marketing future, sir.
Okay.
Pops.
Nothing at all.
Attaboy. Chris,
there's a couple things. First of all, I love you, brother.
Thank you.
This right here, and what we've Diaz was saying, what we've brought over the last year has been nothing short of spectacular, and we've had a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys having me be a part of it. Number two, Jadeveon Clowney, go to hell. And if you want me to get something off my chest, for the love of God, I'm just going to say this right now for the Eagles: get playmakers, both sides of the football.
Speed.
Wide receivers.
Speed.
Cornerbacks.
Oh,
we need people that are going to make plays on the football, and we need to get younger.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. Off my chest, Jadeveon Clowney, you're mine. No, I mean that.
Normally, you're telling the players on the panel here that they're yours.
I mean that. Your ass is grass.
I thought Nate Gary was yours.
Well, and then Rick Lovato.
I mean, Mike
and
McCarthy. Mike McCarthy spent the night at Jerry Jones' house the other night.
Anyway.
Forget, you're forgetting about Jordan Mulata. Who else was here? Kamu.
Hold on.
All of them.
One of the favorite moments of this radio show this season was watching Jordan Mulata and Hollis Thomas in a photo together and how dwarfed Hollis looked compared to Jordan Mulata.
I still feel like a man.
You also laid Kamu.
Hold on. I am thankful to lay Kamu.
We gave him a Hawaiian lay. Let's just be clear about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, no, whatever, man.
Yeah,
we can let everybody figure that one out on their own. I don't mind.
Moving forward to next year, I think we should have Jordan Mulata on every bye week show because that adds to it. The bye week is fun.
Only if he sings.
Yeah. If he sings for real.
Anything off my chest? Nah, man. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for everybody here. I'm thankful for everybody that showed up over the last 18 weeks that we've been doing this.
Awesome sauce.
I'm thankful for Pete. And, man, I'm looking forward to next season in every way, shape, or form. And love you guys.
Love you, too.
Pretty much it.
Rest up for the next few months.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Anyway, you guys... Live for the last time this season from Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia Green Legion Radio for Michael Diaz, Hollis Tank Thomas, Champ Thomas, Pops Thomas, Chris Sackmaster, Travoy Murphy, Rob Belivas who couldn't be here, and Dave Spadaro. We're signing off, baby.